Paul and Jen, though this is a little different. First of all, we know everybody in the audience, and we have more people involved this time, which is a really good thing. As also we've said, we're talking about forgiveness. And I've been assigned to talk about what exactly is forgiveness. It's defined in the dictionary as to grant relief from payment, to cease to feel resentment against. And that's really similar in a spiritual sense. You know, we obtain forgiveness of sin. We no longer owe the penalty that sin requires, which is wages of sin is death. The forgiveness that we obtain today is granted through our relationship with God through Jesus, His Son. So what are some characteristics of true forgiveness as we see it in the Bible? First of all, forgiveness does not continue to hold a person accountable or remember or have a remembrance of the sin. Going to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, it says, talking about the new covenant here, talking about under it, they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That's such a great thought, that Jesus, or God here, that He's saying that I will wipe away all your sin, and I'll forget about it. I won't remember it anymore. I won't put it in the back of my mind, and then when you sin again, the same sin, oh, yeah, well, you did that again. He doesn't do that. He erases it. Brother Waldron, he gave me an example one time of sin as when God takes away sin like a board, a dry erase board, and you have sin on it, and God just comes like with that eraser and just erases it off. And He doesn't bring it back up there. Afterwards, it's not there anymore. And that's such a great thought, to think that. Secondly, true forgiveness keeps a person from retaliating. Going to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So He's telling us that when you forgive, it doesn't say forgive just right in that passage, but when you do things like that, when you forgive, you're not going to retaliate back at a person. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. He tells us that was the old law. The new law, you turn your cheek to the other side if he slaps you or something like that. True forgiveness does not hold a grudge. It's another thing that it does not do. Going to Ephesians 4, in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So we're shown here, forgiveness, it's not bitter towards someone after giving forgiveness, you don't hold that resentment toward them or anything like that. And a person who truly forgives will be long-suffering and continue to grant forgiveness. In Matthew 18, I'm going to Matthew 18. Verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, which is Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And that's not saying that after 489 times that you tell the guy that sends you, well, you have this one more time, and after that, I'm not going to forgive you anymore. That's not what he's saying. That's not a literal. What he's saying is as many times as he's willing to ask for repentance, that you need to be willing to forgive him. And we also need to understand that, you know, we can have forgiveness. And God will eliminate just like that. He'll wipe it away. But the consequences can still be there. You remember David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then murdered her husband, Uriah. And his sin was put away by God. He asked for forgiveness and God granted it to him. But there were still consequences to what he did. The consequences, the baby died. And then his house was, his family was in turmoil after that. You remember that Absalom tried to take over the kingdom and David had to flee the city from his own son. And Moses disobeyed God by striking the rock. And did not give the glory, which when God told him to speak to the rock, he struck it. And his consequence was he wasn't allowed to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land. And we can see from many passages that he was forgiven. Even in the New Testament, he's at the Transfiguration. He's representing the old law there. But we have to remember that though we can obtain forgiveness when we do sin, it is so much far better just not sin at all. Just don't sin in the first place than to suffer the consequences that sin has. And forgiveness must be given with the understanding that we rely upon God to forgive us. I'm going to Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you do. So we're commanded there to forgive. I like the New King James Version. It says at the very end of that, but even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It really shows that it's a commandment, that you are commanded to give, to forgive others when they ask for forgiveness. And back to Ephesians 4. And this will be my last passage. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And then chapter 5, 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So we're commanded to be like God. And in other passages, we are told to be Christ-like. Right here, be imitators of God. And God forgives. And He wipes it clean. And we need to look at, when we forgive, we need to be just like that. Thank you for your attention tonight. We're going to have a song and then a prayer, then another speaker.
Number 142. As we study this part of the lesson, you'll notice that several of Cameron's thoughts and my own overlap because although the concept of forgiveness is a simple one, it is extremely crucial and it is vital to our own forgiveness. So Now that he's given us a good definition of forgiveness, let's take a look at some Old Testament examples. And once again, keep in mind that forgiveness is about the attitudes that we hold in our heart. We can always say, "I forgive you," and not really mean it at all, but true forgiveness comes from having a love for a brother or sister's soul and wanting them to be right with God. So the first example that we'll look at will be the example of Esau. Well, most of us know the story by heart and know that Esau one day had come back from hunting and was very hungry and ended up selling his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of lentils. Anyways, when Jacob received the blessing, Esau ended up being furious with him. In Genesis 27, we read in verse 41, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" Of course, Jacob did the smart thing and he fled. But many years later down the road, the brothers cross paths while they're traveling. And if you will turn to Genesis chapter 33, let's read verses 1 through 4. Genesis 33. "Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked. There Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." And if you continue to read the rest of the passage, it becomes even more clear that Esau had completely forgiven Jacob for what he had done and buying his birthright. And he shows a proper attitude of forgiveness in this. Let's look at another character that had the same attitude of forgiveness, Joseph. It's another story we know well. Because of jealousy and hatred, Joseph's brothers threw him into a pit, sold him to Midianite traders, where he was eventually sold into Egypt. There, through God's providence and through the visions of Pharaoh and their interpretations, he rose to become second only to Pharaoh. And during the 7 years of famine that occurred in the land, when Joseph's family had to come get grain, they came to Joseph himself, but they didn't know who he was at first. Eventually, during one of their meetings, he reveals himself to them, but, of course, they're afraid because they knew what they had done to him all those years ago. But he told them not to be afraid, and he comforted them. In Genesis 45, we read in verse 5, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." He had forgiven them of what they did to him all those years ago. And also, he understood God's purpose in their actions. So he saw that God was working through their hatred to provide for them in the future. Even after this, though, when Jacob, their father, died, they feared once again because they assumed that that may have been the only thing that was keeping him from taking vengeance on them. Their father's life may have been the only thing between Joseph and his brothers. But once again, he takes them aside and comforts them. If you will, turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis 50. We'll read verses 15 through 21. "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him.' So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, 'Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." So, once again, he proves that forgiveness should mean completely overlooking the past wrongs of one who's wronged you. And we shouldn't hold grudges, we learn from this. So those are the two examples from the Old Testament. Let's go back again to the principles of forgiveness that we find by looking at New Testament instructional examples. And as we read some of these passages from the New Testament, we can understand even more that forgiveness is truly about the attitude that we hold toward our brethren. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So, God Himself forgives us of our sins through Christ. And we as Christians, if we don't have any other motivation, this is the ultimate motivation to want to forgive our brethren. God Himself forgives us through Christ. Well, how exactly are we told to forgive a brother? Well, first of all, we're to go to them gently, peaceably, to let them know what they've done. In Galatians 6:1, we read, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." And also, when someone repents, we're not to hold that against them. We're to truly forgive them. As Paul wrote the Corinthians in the first letter to them, chapter 5, he spoke of a man who had taken his father's wife. And the congregation in Corinth was not dealing with it properly. They were actually boasting about this fact. But he says to put him aside, to completely separate fellowship with him. And in his second letter, we can infer that in chapter 2, Paul is discussing the same man who they had put away. And it would seem that he repented of his sin, but the congregation was still treating him harshly. If you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. "This punishment inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought to rather forgive than comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you, reaffirm your love to him." So we can see that when someone repents, we've got to forgive them and once again treat them like a brother so that they won't be swallowed up by too much sorrow, as this passage says. One more issue that we can have is a wrong attitude towards forgiveness. We can be hypocritical in our forgiveness, but we've got to realize we can't expect God to forgive us if we don't have a forgiving heart in ourselves. If you will turn to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, we'll read verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So you can see how important it is that we forgive others. Also, if you will turn to Luke chapter 6, parallel account to Matthew's here. Luke chapter 6, we'll read verse 37. "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And if you'll skip down to verse 41. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to that brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." So, you may be wondering now, since we must forgive to be forgiven, how much are we to forgive our brothers? Psalm 103, verse 12 says, As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. We should do the same for our brethren if we expect God to do the same for us in the same regard. Well, sometimes we may not feel like or want to forgive someone. We may think something along the lines of, well, he or she's already done this and this and this, but I forgave them. But This last sin is too much. I just can't do this. What does Jesus say about this? If you will turn to Luke chapter 17, Luke 17, verses 3 through 4 say, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and in seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." So once again, it's truly about having the right attitude towards our brethren, to want to forgive them so that they can be right with the Lord. and so that they will not be filled with sorrow. And we as Christians should be striving to be like Jesus, who is our example in this and everything else we do. And as we look to his life, we can see that he provides us with the greatest example of forgiveness, which Andrew will discuss in just a moment after a few songs and prayer.
Forgiveness can be defined in many ways. I have chosen letting transgressions go as if they had never been committed. We have read of instructions and the examples that the Bible gives us of forgiveness. But now I would like to look at one more example. The perfect example of forgiveness. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I would like to start this by asking a question. What does the word Christian mean? Several verses give us the explanation of what that word Christian means. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Peter tells us we are to proclaim God's praises. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul states, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What does it mean to put on Christ? We are to be like him in every way. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul uses himself as an example of how we should mold our lives. "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." A Christian should be willing to put on Christ's character, to imitate Christ, and to strive to become Christ-like. But are we Christ-like in that we forgive as Christ forgives? Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 26, we'll be reading there in a moment. In this context, Jesus has been arrested in the garden and has been led away by the soldiers. Jesus has been tried and spat upon. He's been blindfolded and slapped across the face, mocked, saying, "Who is it that is hitting you?" He is then taken to Pilate, who then scourges him. The Roman soldiers place a crown of thorns on his head. They give him a staff. They take it from him. They hit him with it. They mock him and again beat him. Verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him. And women also mourned and lamented over him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place of Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Jesus went through the pain and suffering of the cross because he loved the Father and because he loved us. Even though he was physically and mentally tortured, his love for the Father and for us allowed him to have a forgiving heart for those guilty of these cruel acts. Again, I ask, are we Christ-like in that we forgive as Christ forgave? Sometimes we as Christians do not forgive as we should. Satan is alive in us in works of self-righteousness and pride. Pride sometimes gets in the way of truly forgiving our fellow brethren. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you putting on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, putting on the new man, because we were created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. Turn your Bibles again to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return, when He suffered, did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. If we truly accept Christ as our example, our hearts should be prepared to forgive our brethren in any circumstance. When we fail to have a forgiving spirit, Satan is working within us. He is working within us to destroy the foundation of the hope that lives within us, that God has forgiven our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through the blood that Jesus shed, we have hope, a hope of heaven, if we are obedient to His word. Through God's forgiveness of our sin, we are reconciled with God. But if we fail to forgive our fellow brethren, God will not forgive us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus states, "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." But what are we forgiven of? We are forgiven of our sins. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Who has borne our grief, our sorrows? Who was wounded for our transgressions? Who was bruised for our iniquities? And by whose stripes are we healed? We are healed by Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, Christ, the very being we Christians should strive to imitate. In conclusion, a Christian should proclaim the praises of God, should put on Christ, and should imitate Him. We as Christians should truly accept Christ as our example. Only then will we start to become Christ-like. Tonight, if you have not become a Christian and put on the name of Christ, then you are in need of forgiveness. You need the forgiveness as talked about in Isaiah chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 8. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. Forgiveness, letting transgressions go as if they had never been committed. The wiping of the board That's what you need tonight, if you're not a Christian. And to we who are Christians, are we Christ-like in that we forgive as Christ forgave on the cross? Come as we stand and as we sing.